Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Zuari Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Darshini Desai from MUFG Intime, their investor relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q2 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Zuari Industries Limited. Today on this call, we have Mr. Atharva Saha, Managing Director, Mr. Nishant Dalal, Chief Financial Officer, and Company Secretary, Mr. Yadvinder Goel. Before we begin this call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not guarantees of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I hand over the call to Atharva Saha. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshini. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Zuari Industries Limited, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all the participants who have joined our call, during which we are going to discuss the results of our second quarter for the current financial year. I'm joined today by Mr. Nishant Dalal, our CFO, Mr. Yadvinder Goel, our Company Secretary, and Mr. Jatin Jain, our Deputy CFO. I begin by giving you the good news that we have commenced crushing of sugarcane at our sugar factory in Lakhimpur, Uttar Pradesh, on 26th of October 2025, which is earliest in the history of the company. Right now, the crushing is in full swing at the factory. In the quarter under consideration or under review, we sold sugar of 3.7 lakh quintal, which was lesser than what we sold last year for the same period, primarily due to the lower allocation of quota by the government. However, it was offset to an extent by higher realization in sugar prices, and Nishant will share the numbers with you. Our ethanol production was very significantly higher. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been trying to improve the capacity utilization of our distillery, and I'm very happy to tell you that we achieved 44% higher ethanol production in the second quarter. In doing so, we achieved the highest number of distillery operating days, which is 311 days of distillery operation. A previous best was 262 days in the season. Our ethanol realization was also up modestly because of the different mix of ethanol that we sold. On the subsidiaries and JVs front, our real estate subsidiary, Zuari Infraworld, it continues to strengthen its position in the real estate sector. As I've been mentioning in previous calls, they are pursuing the DM model for growth, and now they have achieved a gross development value of about 2,900 crores. Their phase four project in Mysore, Zuari Garden City, is 95% complete. Their flagship St. Regis Dubai project is now nearing completion. The project was 86% complete, with the final completion expected by the end of February and the handover to commence by March of next year, calendar year. Simon India, which is our engineering and construction company, it has got projects worth 144 crore that it is currently executing. We are trying to convert Simon India into a digital-first EPC company, and our strong focus is on acquiring strong, deep technical expertise in areas of our interest, which is particularly fertilizers and chemicals, as also seeing how we can enable artificial intelligence in various aspects of its operations. ZEBPL, which is our joint venture with NVN of Europe, and we are setting up a 180 KLPD distillery in Uttar Pradesh, as you are aware, is now practically complete, and we expect to commission it by the end of this month. As you are aware, this is the apex company, so we continue to maintain strategic investments across our core portfolio So our investments in Chambal Fertilizers, Zuari Agrochemicals, Texmaco Real in Engineering and Texmaco Infrastructure and Holdings continue to hold steady in our portfolio. The value of these strategic investments as on 30th of September was 4,680 crore. As mentioned in previous calls, we continue to seek ways of reducing our external debt and reduce our cost of debt. There is a clear strategy in place to achieve debt reduction in the next few quarters. The Dubai project, as I mentioned earlier, is projected to contribute significant amount to these deleveraging efforts, with repatriation of profits coming from the first quarter of the next financial year. Looking ahead, the state government of Uttar Pradesh has revised the sugar cane price for the 25-26 season and increased it to 400 rupees per quintal for the early variety. This will impact the realization, but it will also be offset by somewhat better realizations that we expect on the sugar cane front. We expect very good momentum on the real estate side, and we remain strong in our target markets. We are building a strong pipeline of DM projects to accelerate growth in our real estate business. We are also evaluating inorganic opportunities to complement organic growth. I now invite Nishant, our CFO, to take you through the financial results for the second quarter. And after that, of course, we will have the Q&A. Over to you, Nishant.
Thank you, sir. And good afternoon, everyone. Now I will provide a detailed review of Zuari Industries' financial performance. We have also uploaded our investor presentation on the website. Hope the participants had a chance to go through the same. So on a standalone performance of Zuari Industries Limited, the revenue from operation for the quarter has been at 204.5 crore versus 207.4 crore in the previous year. And on a half-yearly basis, it is at 414.8 crore. As compared to 421.9 crore in previous year. Slight drops are because we could not sell as much sugar as we sold in the previous year. However, on the operating EBITDA performance, if you talk about our performance is significantly improved, both quarterly as well as on a half-yearly basis. So for the quarter, our EBITDA has improved from 8.3.5 crore to 8.9 crore. On a quarterly basis, and from 27 crore to 31.3 crore on a half-yearly basis. We are consistently lowering our finance costs, and for the quarter, the reduction of 3.01 crore in the finance cost, while for the half-year also, the finance costs are reduced by nearly 6 crore. So on our PBT, before our exceptional item, there is a significant jump, which is an increase from 0.4 crore in previous quarter to 18.6 crore in current year, same quarter. Similarly, on a half-yearly basis, now in previous year, the PBT for the half-year before exceptional item was 1.5 crore. It is 19.5 crore for the current year. And on a profit after tax basis, so we have reduced our loss from 23.9 crore in previous quarter to a profit of 3.5 crore in the current quarter. On a half-yearly basis also, the losses are reduced from a loss of nearly 39 crore to hardly 0.76 crore in the current half-year. On a consolidated performance, the major part of our consolidated performance actually is driven from our sugar business only, which is the forms part of our standalone performance. So for the consolidated quarter, our revenue has increased from 237.3 crore in previous year to 241.2 crore in the current year. And on a half-yearly basis also, the revenues is up from 463 crore in previous half-year to 498.6 crore in current half-year. Similarly, at the profit level before exceptional item, there is a considerable increase which is coming in the PBT, which is an increase from 4.8 crore in previous quarter, year same quarter, to 174.02 crore in the current quarter. A larger part of this is coming from our consolidation of Zuari Agro, which is an associate of the company, and the Zuari Agro has done a transaction which has consummated, which is the merger of MCFL and PPL, and the accounting treatment for that in Zuari Agro book has resulted into their profit. Our share of that profit is coming into this. Now there are a few updates on our subsidiaries and joint ventures. So for Zuari Infra World, if we talk about, their income has increased from 20.9 crore to 51.3 crore in the current year. A large part of this is coming from their foreign exchange gains. On Zuari FinServ, the income has increased. Income is a slight reduced, which was 5.4 crore in the previous year for the Q2. It is 4.4 crore for the current year Q2. Slight decrease is there because of the way stock markets have moved on. And we have on the AUM management side, there is a strong growth. So previous year, the AUM part of our financial product distribution, we were having an AUM of 377.4 crore, which has increased to 560.25 crore in the current year. And this gain is driven by momentum in SIPs. Then Zuari FinServ has also launched its new website, and we are building new digital platforms to expand products and strengthen our governance while staying focused on the customers. Then we have Zuari Insurance and Brokers Limited, whose income has grown from 2.4 crore in previous year Q2 to 3.9 crore in this year. And EBITDA has also increased from 1.5 crore to 2.9 crore in the current quarter. Zuari Insurance continues to focus on customer acquisition from external clients and sustaining consistent renewals by effectively utilizing the group's vendor network. Zuari International, they have posted a revenue of 45.8 crore and they have also reduced their losses substantially as compared to previous quarter, say, of the previous year by nearly 58.9 crore. Now, Simon India Limited has posted a handsome increase in their income from 2.2 crore in last year Q2 to 19.4 crore. And this is large part of this is driven from the new projects which Simon India is doing. Their EBITDA has also improved from 0.2 crore to 0.8 crore. Zuari Management Services Limited has reported a stable income of 9.5 crore in line with last year. And Zuari ZMSL is advancing its digital initiatives, including real-time tracking, BI dashboards, predictive analytics, and integrated platforms to improve key business operations. Then on the joint venture side, our oil tanking joint venture, which is Indian Oil Adani Ventures Private Limited, their income has grown from 4.9 crore to 7.59 crore, and which is up an increase of nearly 61.2%. I think the rest, many other financial parameters are there in the investor presentation. Now we are open for any Q&A that investors may have. That's all from my side.
Before we invite the questions, some important figures that I would like to share with the participants is that our sugar realization was up 5.7% in the second quarter on a year-on-year basis and 5.1% on half-yearly basis. Ethanol sales was up 7.6% for the quarter and 3.8% on half-yearly basis. As I mentioned earlier, the ethanol production was up 44% on a quarterly basis and 24.8% on half-yearly basis. As Nishant mentioned, we have been lowering our cost of borrowings, and this cost of borrowings lowering has resulted in a cost saving in the quarter of about 3 crore and 6.3 crore for the half-year period. Some more data points for you people is that is our power production actually on a half-yearly basis has been significantly higher, Nishant, from 127.7 lakh units to 263 lakh units. That needs to be highlighted. The sugar realization, which was 3815 rupees a quintal last year for the same quarter, was 4033 rupees per quintal for the current financial year. I think these are some of the important data points that we wanted to highlight. In terms of revenues, EBITDA, PBT, you've already highlighted, and I think investors hopefully have taken a look at both the quarterly and the annually. So over to you, Darshini, and we are happy to take questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Good morning. Wanted your views on Simon India. So basically, pyridine phosphate is expanding in a big way. So is Simon India getting any share in that expansion? And where do we see Simon India in next 1 or 2 years? So what could be the revenue potential?
Simon India is an engineering and construction company that focuses on fertilizers and chemicals. As you know, Advent Group has a large business in fertilizers and chemicals. So Simon India has the possibility of working both on the projects within the group as well as outside. Right now, primarily, Simon India is working on projects of Paradeep Phosphates Limited. They have already set up an alkali scrubber. They are now building the fifth evaporator. They are designing and building a sulfur melting system. And they are doing this turbo generator project in PPL. Going forward, I expect a healthy pipeline, which will be in line with the CapEx plans of PPL. But at this point in time, I would not like to say how much would that be. I would say that it's an evolving situation. It has grown very rapidly. I must tell you that right now we are only doing EPC projects within the group companies, and doing EPCM and consultancy type of work for external clients. So the revenue potential for EPCM and EP in consultancy type of assignments will not be very significant. So I think with every quarter, we will keep on telling you how it's evolving. Right now, there are several proposals in the pipeline, and I think you should continue to be with us in these calls to get updates.
Okay, sir. And sir, I wanted to know the status of our group company Texmeco Infra's Kamla Nagar project. So by when we can expect the RERA approvals, and can the project start generating revenue in the next couple of quarters?
Yeah, I think for that you should attend whatever opportunity is there in Texmeco Infra. But since we are a 30% shareholder in Zuari Industries, I can tell you that what we know is that the project is right now going through the approval stage and expects to get all the final approvals by the first quarter of the next financial year. And obviously, like all real estate projects, it should be ready for launch around that time.
Okay. Because since they are not doing any calls, so and we hold 30%, so the question was.
Right.
Yeah, and that could be, I mean, as per the reports, I mean, we have that 44% revenue sharing in that project. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it is there in the disclosures. Texmeco Infra has made disclosures about what the revenue share is.
Okay.
I don't recall it offhand, but you can check the disclosures made by Tex Infra.
Okay. And on the Zuari Infra's DM projects, so basically, what's the size of both these projects, Gangotri and Texmeco Rail?
Nishant, you have the numbers.
Yes, I have the number. It's there in your presentation also.
It was mentioned in the presentation.
So Gangotri is almost, it translates into a mega project. So that is almost, it's actually, the GDV is more than 2,000 crore even for the Gangotri. And for the Texmeco Rail project also, a similar kind of GDVs are there, 2,000 plus crore kind of.
Okay. And we don't have to invest anything, right? We will just get the revenue sharing?
Yes.
Okay. And could we know what would be the percentage of revenue share?
That also I think we have indicated it is around 7% of the top line.
Okay. And this will be, I mean, as per project completion basis or at the time of OC? So how do we account it?
So that happens over the tenure of the contract.
That I understood. So basically, I mean, how do we account it? As per the completion? So as and when the project starts plinth and all, as per the completion, we will be accounting it every quarter or only at the time of OC?
No, it's as because DM is a service which we are giving, and that will be on the basis of the tenure. There will be, you can say, monthly billing, which we'll be doing as per our contract. So that much revenue recognition will be happening on a monthly basis.
Absolutely.
Or on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, so we are not a developer. We are a consultant.
Yes.
And we get a fee income. So as and when we get the fee income, we will account for it as an income.
Okay, understood. And so my final question, so on the furniture part, so we are still doing losses. So, I mean, till when it can continue and how much land and assets we own in that division?
So let me answer the second question first. We own 17 acres of land in Kakkalur where this furniture factory is based. What we have done is that we have plugged in the significant losses that were happening when the company was operating. So we have closed the operations, the workers have been separated, and their dues have been settled. And right now there is a small bunch of people who are there to take care of the asset and security and so on and so forth. So I think that's the kind of expenditure that we are incurring on maintaining that asset. And
around almost 10 lakh rupees
per month is what we are spending. Yeah. And we are also exploring how we can either revive that business or otherwise monetize that land
and factory.
Yes.
Okay. Understood. All right. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Richa Shah from SRP Associates. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So my question to you is, how do you see Zuari's role today within the broader advanced ecosystem? And also, what are your strategic priorities for the next 3 to 5 years?
Zuari, as we keep mentioning, is the apex holding company of the group, and we have an operating business which is sugar, palm, and ethanol. Then we have a number of subsidiaries such as real estate, engineering and construction, small business in stock broking, insurance broking, and so on. And we have some strategic investments. So for Zuari, I think in previous calls we have mentioned that we are pursuing three directions. One is a big focus on real estate. We already have a track record now both in India and abroad on developing real estate. So we have pressed the pedal on real estate and we are reporting to you the progress that we have made. The second is bioethanol, where we are setting up a project in collaboration with a large European player, a 180 KLPD distillery in Uttar Pradesh. And we definitely want to expand our footprint in bioethanol. The third is our old business of sugar itself, which we believe can also expand organically. So I think these are the three verticals where we have focused ourselves. And we have been sharing the progress that we are making in these three areas.
Okay, sir. Got your point. And also, like, it can be seen that now the fertilizers, sugar and rail business has scaled up. So do you see any further consolidation or simplification, I would say, of the group structure?
I think the fertilizer structure stands very simplified over the last few years. The group has consolidated everything into PPL and probably you have taken note of the recent merger of MCFL into BPL. So that now creates a very potent entity with operations in three port-based locations. And I think it's a very good development for the group. So that part of simplification is already done. Texmaco Rail, in any case, is doing quite well. It's an integrated unit which does a whole lot of stuff in railways, not only making wagons, but also doing rail EPC and making all kinds of spares and providing services to railways. So that's a business. We are investors in TexRail. We are investors in PPL now through our company, Zuari Agro Chemicals. So I think these two entities are doing quite well. And as I keep telling you people every quarter is that we are constantly evaluating how we can further simplify these structures. Talking about Zuari itself, probably you have not noted it in the previous calls. We have also merged two entities. Sugar business used to be in a separate company called Govind Sugar Mills. So it was merged into the parent and it's now the SPE division of the company. We also merged a company called Zuari Sugar and Power Limited. So the bottom line is that we are constantly looking at simplifying things and hopefully you will see a leaner and well-defined structure emerging.
Okay, sir. Okay, got your point. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Richa. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from RJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello. So, two questions. So, firstly, when ZEBPL is commissioned, will be its revenue and margin profile that you see going ahead? And how fast do you see expected to ramp up? If you could shed some light on that.
Jant.
So ZEBPL, if we talk about, we under ZEBPL right now we are about to commission our first plant, which is a 180 KLPD capacity distilled ethanol plant, and expected top line you can say from the main products ethanol plus the byproduct of DDGS, CO2 etc. should be 450 crore plus kind of, and it is a part of our critical growth story if we talk about. So our idea has been to develop ZEBPL into our platform for our bioethanol ventures. So our plan has been our next 3 to 5 years to take the capacity to 1000 KLPD. And that is subjected to, you can say, how the regulatory environment evolves as well as how the demand supply dynamics evolve.
Understood, sir, understood. And so secondly, what is your strategy for the 4,680 crore portfolio of strategic investments that we have? Could you enumerate a strategy and under what conditions would you maybe monetize any of them? Like, could you share some light on that?
Should I answer? See, Rahul, I will say that these are all our strategic investments. As you understand our structure also, ZIL, beyond you can see its operations in sugar real estate, we continue to serve as the apex holding company also. And majority of these investments which you are looking at, they are all our long-term strategic investment in the different ventures, primarily into fertilizer, then also into our Texmaco Rail business and all. We don't foresee any plan on monetizing any of these businesses for the time being.
Understood, sir, understood. That's all from my side. Thank you for answering my questions and all the best for the future, God.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhautik Doshi from ROS Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just had a couple of questions. One is, what is your current ethanol capacity and its utilization? And how much do you further think, you know, the volume growth is possible over the next 1 or 2 years?
So if we talk about our industries, my ethanol capacity is right now under, you can say, operational is my 125 kiloliters per day of sugar-based distillery, and this capacity is fully operational. If you have seen it, we have operated our ethanol distillery for 311 days during the last ethanol season, which is probably the highest ever you will find for any sugar-based distilleries. And we have been able to do it through, you can say, more operating days even during the off-season by, you can say, opportunistic purchase of raw material, which is molasses primarily. Another ethanol capacity, which just I explained, is under development, about to be commissioned for our Zuari NVN venture, Zuari NVN Bioethanol Private Limited. So that is the two capacities. Almost you can say one is fully operational, 100% utilization, another is about to be commissioned.
Just to add to what Nishan said, our distillery, which is a molasses-based distillery, is running at 85% capacity. And I think that's about the max that you can go. So okay. We will now have to explore what else we can do in terms of improving the operational efficiency of that distillery and even better the numbers that we have delivered.
Okay, sir. Understood. So what visibility do we have on pricing front, like in offtake OMCs? Like what are the key policy risks like you are seeing? Any thoughts
like that? See, we have just seen the first round of tenders in which 1,050 crore liters were sought by oil marketing companies. This is much higher than what they had sought last year. We participated as Zuari Industries and we have got 100% allocation. Nishant?
Yes, we have got 100%.
So we got 100% allocation. And we are happy with that outcome. But as you probably know that there was a significant amount of bidding interest mm-hmm. from many suppliers and more than 1,700 crore liters worth of bids were made to the oil marketing companies. So at an aggregate level, however, I mean, we have another interest in a grain-based distillery, as Nishan pointed out, where we hold 50% equity and 50% is held by NBN of Europe. That's a grain-based distillery. And when we analyze the figures for the allocation, we found that on an aggregate basis, grain-based distilleries have got 78% allocation. So government is actually favoring grain-based distillery, although that figure was a little lower for Uttar Pradesh-based distilleries. So there is a complex mechanism by which these allocations take place, and there are multiple policy objectives that the government is trying to balance through these allocations. Be that as it may, I think the bigger issues are actually a much-awaited correction in the procurement price of ethanol, which has been stagnating for quite some time, and which does not reflect the, you know, true price at which grain-based distilleries could have a proper risk-adjusted return on their investments. So we have been raising this issue, and we expect that the government will take this concern into account and alleviate the concerns of the grain-based distilleries. We have also noted with concern the massive rise in the prices of corn. Although I must say that in recent times by introducing broken rice from FCI, the corn prices have somewhat moderated. The DDGS, which is a valuable byproduct, those prices have also kind of been very soft. So I think overall it's a very interesting landscape. We continue to be long about the bioethanol sector. We think it's playing a very important role in energy transition of the country. We believe that it is saving us a lot of forex. We also believe that it is helping farmers improve their incomes. So multiple policy objectives are fulfilled by this very ambitious program. And I think we also expect that the government would increase the blending targets from the current 20%, and that would hopefully absorb all the excess capacity that currently exists. So to sum it up, I think we continue to be optimistic in the medium to long term about the bioethanol sector. And we do hope that some of the policy issues will be addressed by the government.
Sir, that was my question. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Darsh Chauhan from SG Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, everyone. And thanks for taking my questions. So my first question is that in Q2, I believe you had lower sales volumes for sugar and at the same time you had higher realizations. So just wanted to understand how did that play out with respect to the SP margins, if you could elaborate.
So that is what if we talk on the yearly basis, our sales were less than 4.2 lakh quintals to 3.6 lakh quintals. But our realization for the quarter has improved tremendously from 3815 rupees per quintal to 4033 rupees quintal in the sugar. And the same thing then has worked us for on our margins also. So if you talk about our EBITDA margins for sugar have ranged somewhere around 6.9% for the quarter as compared to much lower for the previous quarter. There is a considerable, if you are tracking the sugar, so there is an item also when the power rates also have been increased by the UPPCL from and which were anyway due for revision from 1st April of 2020-24. So the revision in the rates have happened and we have also booked, you can say, the corresponding income on the supplied power of almost 6 crore plus for that in the quarter also. So that has also added to our, you can say, EBITDA margins. So overall impact of better sugar realizations as well as the power prices, that has helped us improve our EBITDA margins for the sugar sector.
Oh, great. Regarding, you know, the margin trajectory, just taking it ahead. So
yes.
What are the sustainable levels then that you foresee for SP?
See, if we talk about, I think it had been very positive. EBITDA margins should have been, you can say, for sugar industry overall, if you talk about, they should be ranging in between 10 to 12% comfortably. There is an impact of increase in the sugar cane prices, for which has happened very recently. So that way, to what extent that increase in cane prices is translated into sugar prices, that is yet to be seen, because if we look at overall sugar situation of India, so the even ISMA estimates point out that there is going to be surplus sugar production, and accordingly government taking cognizance of the same has allowed for 1.5 million tons of export also. So overall, if we talk about there as compared to, let's say, a month back, today if you talk about the EBITDA margins may be under some pressure depending on the kind of transmission happens in the sugar prices with respect to the increase in the cane cost. But I think 10 to 12% should be still be a comfortable range to factor on the EBITDA margin projections.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's helpful. And my last question is more on a broader strategy level. So just wanted to know your thoughts on capital allocation. So, I mean, over the medium term, say 3 to 5 years or 2 to 3 years, how do you plan to deploy your capital? So how do you plan to balance it between growth capex and debt reduction efforts? And also just to take that further, any possibility of buybacks, dividends?
I will try to answer it. So in a manner that if we talk today, then our immediate priority is to deleverage our balance sheet. So there are certain monetization events which are expected and they should lead us surplus cash, which will help us with, you can say, deleverage. Now capital allocation over next 3 to 5 years, if we talk about, then we have identified the three key verticals for us for our growth. And one of those vertical is our sugar sector. So in sugar sector, we continue to improve on our existing capacities. Plus, we are also exploring for both organic as well as inorganic opportunities in the sugar sector. So that is one vertical. Second is on our real estate part, where we are pursuing an asset-light approach. And as a part of that, so the capital allocation may happen in growing our DM business. which is, you can say, high yield or high margin business also. So second is that vertical, and the third is our bioethanol venture. So we continue to remain, you can say, mid to long term, we are bullish on the bioethanol energy transition story of India. And the kind of allocation of capital which will happen over next 3-5 years in bioethanol sector will also be driven a lot on the policy environment as well as the larger macroeconomic environment of the bioethanol. So that is what will drive, you can say. But these three sectors are the sectors where our capital allocation planning will happen over next 3-5 years. Hope that answers your question.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, it does. Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best to you. Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Modi from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have two questions. The first question is regarding our lab.
But there is a lot of from the line.
Is it better now?
So the line is still there. Kindly
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. But
a lot of noise.
But can you please rejoin?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gupta from Star Investment. Please go ahead. Mr. Vivek Gupta, please go ahead. Mr. Vivek Gupta, we have unmuted your line. Since there is no response, the next question is from the line of Dhara from Adish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Actually, I had a question that given the center's decision to permit 1.5 million tons of sugar exports for 25-26 sugar season versus 2 million tons requested by the industry, how are you recalibrating your export strategy, domestic sales mix, and pricing assumptions for the upcoming season?
Okay, see, when we talk about being a north-based player, our sugar primarily, you can say, is sold in the domestic market itself. And we do opportunistic export whenever opportunities arise, that we do primarily to Nepal and that region. Impact of 1.5 million tons of export, I think that is will be, you can say, coming across, you can say, overall sector of India or overall sugar production in India. So that is something which will drive. Now, it also depends on that how much of that export quota really translates into physical exports, because if you look at currently at the export market also, so there are, you can see, there is certain moderation in the prices which is happening. So, you know, the actual exports quantities will probably be overall impacting the sugar availability in India and overall then you can say sugar prices. Consumption side, if you talk about, then sugar consumption in India continues to, you can say, move at a stable pace. Almost, I think, 28 million plus ton of consumption is expected to be there for the country. So that consumption story will be there. Given there is an increase in the sugarcane prices, so there will be some, you can say, pass-through of the costs, which is an essential, and for sugar being essential commodity, to what extent the cost pass-through happens, that we have to see. So there was a, you can say, if you look at regularly trade sugar prices, there was a sudden impact of increase in sugar domestic prices of almost 100 plus rupees. How long it sustains and how long it further goes up, that is yet to evolve. But overall, these are the things which will determine, you can say, sugar prices in India. On the supply side, I think sugar still remains a commodity, which is controlled commodity by government of India. So we do get domestic sales quota, and the, you can say, monthly availability of sugar in the market, it continues to be controlled. So I think we don't foresee, you can say, sharp decrease, etc., or a negative movement in sugar prices. The upward movement, I think, will be more driven on, you can say, the supply and demand dynamics?
I think the short answer to your question is that releasing of some quota for export is a good and positive idea. But it all depends on, as a company, what kind of quota you get as a company. So to what extent you can take advantage, if at all. Second is, what impact will this have on the overall market? And that is an open question. Nobody can say for sure whether it was anticipated and the market has already factored in, or whether this release of export quota will further affect the pricing. What are we doing? I think we are, probably budgeting a small portion of our sales coming in from exports. We did a very tiny amount of exports last year, then the quota was even smaller. We will probably have a modest estimate for export sales.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Yes.
And all the best.
Thank you, Vijay.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Varun Mishra from SK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. And a couple of questions from my end. So, sir, over the next 3 to 5 years, how do you plan to balance the sugar versus ethanol, like to stabilize the SP earnings under the changing regulations?
See, we have a dynamic decision-making model where practically on a real-time basis, we decide what to produce and how much and when. Because while the ethanol prices are fixed, the sugar prices keep varying. So we don't rely on gut feel, but we rely on our own models which tell us what to produce and when. So we have been using that to optimize our top line and bottom line performance. As we mentioned earlier in the call, one of the key tasks before us, and maybe I'll take you even back maybe a couple of years. So what we have done in our distillery side is that we have increased the capacity from 100 to 125 KLPD. We have also built in the flexibility to produce ethanol directly from sugarcane juice. So this has kind of improved the viability of our distillery business. The third task was to increase the distillery operating days. And if you notice, we have been increasing it every year. And this year, as we reported earlier, we have achieved 311 days in a season, which is very good performance of 85% plus capacity utilization. So, and how have we done it? Obviously, our sugar factory doesn't have all the molasses to feed our distillery. So what we do is to actually buy molasses from an open market and make sure that we achieve maximum capacity utilization. And I think that strategy has worked out very well for us in making sure that the distillery runs to its full potential. Meanwhile, when we are in this season, sugar season, and the choice is between producing sugar and ethanol, it's driven by the market prices. And as I said earlier, it's all data-driven and not based on gut feel.
All right, sir. And so what would be the status of bookings, collections, and the pending cost of the measure phase 4, and how much revenue is left to recognize?
In bookings, I think out of 156 plots, I think about 98 have been booked. Revenues, I will not be able to recall.
Around 90 crore revenue.
You can say, Jatin.
Total project revenue is around 90 crores, which we will be recognizing at the time of handover of units to the customers.
All right, sir. All right. Great, sir. That's all from my end, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ishan Agarwal from Bright Star Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, in the last conference call, you had hinted that by the end of this quarter, you will be having a better estimate of the realization from the Dubai project and as to how much of it can contribute to the deleveraging of the company. Can you throw some light on it, please?
Yes, I did mention that by this call we will have a better estimate both of the quantum and the timing. And through this call, I want to tell you and all those who are participating that we are expecting a cash inflow of 800 crore approximately, and that will come to us in the second quarter of the next financial year or next calendar year.
It will start flowing from that period.
From April onwards.
April onwards.
So we expect it to start coming from April, and maybe it will take 3 to 6 months for the entire amount to flow in, is what you're suggesting?
There is a structure and there is a plan to bring it. So it will take some time, but it will be spread over several months.
And to what extent will this 800 crores be used for deleveraging?
Entirely.
Okay, that's good to hear. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So by Q2 of the next financial year, we could be looking at a gross external debt of maybe close to 1,000 crores.
Right now, the gross external debt is 1,863 crore as on 30th of September. So you reduce it by 800 crores, so obviously.
Okay. And secondly, in order to simplify the group structures further, which we have been working on, have the boards of Zuari Agro and Zuari Industry started thinking on any corporate action between these two companies? Or is it too early right now?
I can't answer that question at all. What happens in the board meetings remains there, and all the companies make public announcements.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, Darshini, and the entire MUFG team for organizing this call. I just want to, first of all, thank all the participants who have joined us for this call. Q2 happens to be a somewhat muted quarter for our company because the sugar factory is not in operation. But I'm very happy to see the performance of the company this year in Q2. And apart from all the good work on the businesses, I think, Nishant, you should have also mentioned the increase in the dividend that you received from Chambal Fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
That has also helped you. Overall, I think we are happy with the progress that we have made. We have been briefing our investors about our strategies and plans, and we intend to stay connected with you, of course, through the structured discussions and quarterly investors' calls, but also intermittently meeting investors and analysts during the quarter. We remain very positive about the prospects of the company. And we hope that they will give you, some more good news when we meet next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you on behalf of Zuari Industries Limited. That concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.